surviving elders among the exiles and to the priests, the prophets, and all the other people Nebuchadnezzar had carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. This was after King Jehoiakim and the queen mother, the court officials, and the leaders of Judah and Jerusalem, the skilled workers, and the artisans had gone into exile from Jerusalem. He entrusted the letter to Elisha, son of Shaphan, and to Gemariah, son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah, king of Judah, sent to King Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon. It said, "This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to those who I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons. Give your daughters in marriage, so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number 3. Do not decrease. Also seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Do not let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. They are prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to you to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place for which I carried you into exile."
Thank you. Father, thank you. Thank you for being here this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to praise you and worship you. Thank you for the testimony of these young adults. And may it remind us as well that we are called to be ready to share our testimony and profess our faith to the world around us, that they may know who you are and who we are. Lord, may this time of worship, may it shape us and form us more and more into who you're calling us to be. And Lord, I pray that the words which will be spoken now, Lord, may they be your words and not mine. We pray this in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. It is such a blessing to hear you profess your faith and to have each of you have the courage to stand and say, "This is why I want to follow Jesus." It brings hope. It brings hope to church, to all those who are here, and to those who are watching as well. There's so much fear that the church is losing ground. And yet the reality is the church is growing throughout the world. And it is still strong because it is Christ's body. We talked about the church being Christ's body. So it's a joy and an honor to get to know you better the last few months. We had faith and life-oriented conversations and discussions, and I discovered so often I didn't have answers for all your questions, and you were patient with me, so I thank you. And I also learned so much from you on the struggles that you face as you confess who Jesus is in your life. Most of our conversations was faced by the theme in this passage, to seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. And that comes from the Lord through Jeremiah. And in many ways, it's just simple wisdom when you stop to think about it. Israel's in the early days of their exile to Babylon. God's allowed Babylon to defeat Israel and take many of her people into exile. And they are a long way from home. So if you're kind of sitting in the pews, Israel is down here, but Babylon is all the way over here. And there is huge distance from it. They are so far from home. This home that they believe God had promised them forever. And then there's these prophets that show up and they say, hey, you know what? God's going to bring us home really soon, really quickly. So just remember, just kind of withdraw from everybody. Just kind of be yourselves. You know, you're going to be slaves and everything. But God's going to free us real quick. And now the Lord steps in. And he moves through Jeremiah to give the exiles a real hard wake-up call. Build houses. Settle down. Plant gardens. Eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there. Don't decrease. That's their new reality. It's a long-term new way of understanding their life now. They're exiles in a foreign land. They have to figure out how God wants them to live in Babylon. But they knew, even if they didn't always really deeply believe it, that God is God of all cities, not just of Jerusalem, not just of the cities in Galilee, but he's God of all cities, including Babylon. He's God of all nations, all peoples. And that's why we talked so much about how do we live as exiles in this world. The Apostle Peter picks up on this idea of being exiles in his first letter. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, exiles scattered throughout the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Now, those are all the nations around Israel, and they've literally been scattered all over the place. So they're not living in a comfortable place. They're not living where everybody believes the same thing. There's so many who believe so differently, and they have to figure out who they're going to be. Taya Thomas Alexander, in an article for Gospel Coalition, writes, Peter called them God's elect, exiles scattered. When these Christians choose to follow Christ, they were persecuted. By naming their identity as exiles, Peter was comforting them. Our Christian identity of exiles gives us a boldness to bear through the harsh days of suffering. It gives us a glimpse of the horizon, a sign that this land ends somewhere and gives room, gives way to another place. In exile, we participate in mending work as God himself prepares a new city by redeeming old things. You go into the world as healers, as God's presence to bring hope. So we look forward to Jesus' return and the coming of heaven to earth, but until that happens, we're called to live lives of meaning as blessings, just like Abraham was called to be a blessing. So we talked about you can fight against the culture, or we can hide from the culture, or we can embrace the culture. But biblically, there's a different way. God calls Israel and us to instead walk in his way, to bless the culture through our presence, to be a gift wherever we are placed. Stephen Grabel, he was kind of the weird guy, the really smart guy in all those videos. He's from the Acton Institute, and he sees the world's mission as being God's blessing to the world. I love how he defines the church. It kind of has become my way of understanding who the church is as well, that the church is the body of Christ given as a gift for the life of the world. It's meant to give us a picture, an image of hope of who we are. We're the hope of God scattered across the world, called to pray for and work for the peace, shalom, and prosperities of the communities that we're a part of. We often believe that if we're a blessing to our community, they should be really happy to have us here, and yet that's not always true. In the Babylonian Empire, there were a number of times this ruler saw the Jewish people as a threat and tried to get rid of them. So we think of Daniel, lion's den, his friends in a furnace. We think of Esther having to rise up and save her people by confronting the king. Paul addresses this in his first letter to the church in Corinth because, you see, things don't really change. He says, we work hard with our own hands. When we're cursed, we bless. When we're persecuted, we endure it. When we're slandered, we answer kindly. We have become the scum of the earth, the garbage of the world right up to this moment. Harsh language. But I've encountered that attitude as a pastor. I've encountered that attitude as I walk into difficult situations where you're just kind of mocked for believing in something like a God, believing in Jesus. We are often seen as being less than and not really belonging. And yet even when the empire saw the Jews as a threat, the Jews left an impact on the Babylonians and empires that followed them. Think of the Magi. You know, that's where they came from. They came from the area around Babylon, and they're searching for a special king from God whose birth is revealed in the skies. Well, how would they even know to look to the skies for that? Well, that's the impact of Daniel, his friends, the impact of Mordecai and Esther and others who were part of being advisors and guiders and people living among the empire, but staying true to who God was calling them to be. There's something about Israel's faith, something about how the Jews in positions of influence contributed to the empire and its culture that stayed with and impacted them. As we talked about having a vision for living out our faith, we were challenged by Stephen Grabel. You know, living faithfully in exile and seeking the shalom of our cities are two big ideas that the church needs to embrace in order to recover a robust, in but not of, theology of culture. At its core, it means living missionally and intentionally in light of God's economy of all things. For those who didn't take the course yet, economy is all those different parts of our society. We don't just exist for ourselves. We exist to bring life to the world. But how does our gift giving, how does that lead to flourishing? Living in the land according to God's law leads to flourishing for everyone. I would encourage you to remember that. When we live as God wants us to live, as a light to the nations, we flourish in every imaginable way. And that flourishing spreads around the communities to which we belong. In other words, living according to God's big picture, oikonomic purpose for the world. Oikonomos is how households are structured at that time, where you had the head of the household, you had all the different, you had the family members, you had all the servants, and you had all the different parts. It's a big family picture. The oikonomic purpose of the world illumines and applies shalom in all the economies of life. Family, we talked about, work, governing institutions, education, the arts, and so on. This is big picture. Kingdom of heaven ways of thinking and living. This is what Jesus is getting at in Matthew 6. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So we're each called to work in large or small ways to bless our city. We build houses, families, businesses. We plant gardens. We plant peace through hospitality. We plant seeds of the gospel of Jesus through faithful living and sharing our faith alongside living it out. We raise families. We have jobs. We create beauty. We marvel at the beauty found around us in both creation and the people that we encounter. We have opportunities to take on roles in each of our communities to help make it a better place. As I was thinking about this message, I look back on the different roles that God's asked me to play. The ways he's asked me to be a blessing. From being a son, a husband, a father, a friend, a sailor, a baker, helping in a Christian community center, now being a pastor, but also always looking for different roles in the communities that we've lived in, and more. I remembered what my parents taught us as kids. that God calls us to serve each other, to serve our church, but also to serve the community, because God loves the people of our community with a deep, deep love. And so should we. We were taught to celebrate the achievements of others instead of being jealous, helping others to become more who God calls them to be, even if they don't believe in God. You see, our lives glorify God as our roles and gifts point to the working out of His grace and blessing as we live faithfully in exile and seek the shalom of the cities, because they are God's cities. Jesus came as a gift to the world, a gift who suffered greatly on our behalf. I love how, you know, you all came back to Jesus in your testimonies. He took all our sin to the cross so we can experience reconciliation with God and an outflow of His blessings as experienced in the Lord's Supper. As Jesus came as a gift to the world to reveal God, so Jesus calls us to live as His gift to the world, as His body, giving the world a glimpse of what the kingdom of heaven looks like through our lives. The already not yet kingdom, they'll be completely realized when Jesus returns to claim His bride. And when we pour out our lives, when we use our gifts to bless others, we also get so blessed. When we invest in other people, we experience huge blessings as we see them become blessings to even more people. And that creates a spirit of abundance and health. So our lives, well, we glorify God in how we carry out our roles. We use our gifts to point to His grace and blessings as we live faithfully in exile, seeking the shalom of our cities. As Jesus came as a gift to the world to take our sin to the cross and reveal God's amazing grace and faithfulness and forgiveness, so we come as gifts to reveal the already not yet kingdom of God here. I loved how we had that conversation at the end where I got to share all my crazy ideas about what it's going to look like when Christ returns. But again, when He comes, there's this whole picture of renewal and restoration and renewal and being able to go into the whole of the universe that God's created, to be His presence. And I love how Stephen Grabell writes, "This faithful living is a leading issue of our time. And this point brings us back to the big picture, that things operate out of a sense of purpose and toward a specific end in God's economy. But we do need eyes to see this new world picture and patience to take the long view." And that's why I love you are already growing those eyes to see God's presence. You all already have the desire to be that difference wherever God places you. So as you journey through life, never stop looking for the wonder of the world around us. Never stop looking for the image of God that is in every person. And keep exploring. Keep wondering in amazement at how your gifts can bring peace and prosperity. I look at you and I see you're going to be in so many different parts of life in the community. Some of you will stay close to home. Others, you may end up anywhere in the world. You don't know. But remember, it's all God's. And no matter where we end up, we do live as exiles. And we seek the peace and prosperity. We pray for every place where God leads us. And God will use you to be a blessing in so many ways. May the Lord be with you and bless you. Amen. Lord, sometimes we forget that You call us to be a blessing, to bless the places that You lead us to seek the peace and prosperity of the city, to pray for the places that we're in. Lord, may we be a people who live well in exile. may we help others to gain a glimpse of your kingdom. And Lord, may we continue to carry that hope, that joy, and that challenge with us wherever we are. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.